I should have never mentally dressed you with my eyes. And I'm sorry for that.
It seems sincere.
I think the only way that I'm going to be able to move on and all of us can move past this is just a quick group hug.
Just a quick one.
What?
Hey, come on. Come on.
There we go.
Oh, you brought your A game.
Wow. Have a good day, guys.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, baby, we're back. That's right. Welcome back to the Official and Practical Jokers podcast. My name's Casey Jost.
I'm James McCarthy.
I am Tina Santamaro.
We have a fun episode, you know, in our continuation of the Blast from the Past Jokers episode, watching old ones, talking about them, you know, unearthing facts and stories. James, which one we got today?
Oh, Casey, we've got the human pinata episode.
Ooh, good
it's
one.
It's a hot one, baby. We've got that. It starts out with a little invention intervention where the guys play product jesters. We make fake products for each other. Then we go on to hugs of forgiveness. Have you seen my wife in the mall? And then, of course, the human pinata punishment.
That's right. And I'm very excited because we have a wonderful guest, a person who worked on the show kind of briefly, but left a real mark, and we'll go into why. A stand-up, a heartthrob, a funny friend. Am I missing anything, Annie?
I want you to say like a teen Tiger Beat heartthrob.
A Tiger Beat
heartthrob. I do think I look like... What was Leave? What was the guy Leave?
Schreiber. Oh.
Leaf Garrett?
Leaf yeah. Garrett. I think I have a Leaf Garrett haircut going. Yeah. You have like Tina. We're both kind of rocking.
You are rocking. I'm sorry that this is just an audio format. Annie Letterman's here.
But you'll have to follow my social media to see that.
Okay, you know? What's your social media? Tell it now because I love the promotion.
My social media, it's Instagram. My handle is Annie Letterman. It's really crazy. It's spelled L-E-D-E-R-M-A-N. You can go to my Twitch. I'm doing live shows 2 to 3 times a week on Twitch. That's also Annie Letterman. I have a Patreon, which is also Annie Letterman, where I do fun stuff with people. Also, I have a podcast, Meanspiration, that's on YouTube, which is YouTube, also Annie Letterman.
Amazing.
And, you know, we're living life out here.
All right, I'm excited.
Check it out. Support your IJ alums.
Yeah. So I think the elephant in the room is the fact that your story of when you worked on Jokers, and it's a really wonderful tale that will give some perspective as to what the early days were like. We went through a couple different showrunners, and a showrunner on a show is like who we have now is this guy, Pete McPartland, who is like flawless. He's the greatest of all time.
Been there
and
forever,
we had some,
basically.
Yeah, he's been there since I think after this guy that we did not like very much, who was there for a short run, and he did nothing good for the show, including this. Yeah, I don't even want to say his name because
who
he was
it?
I'll give clues where you'll know who he is.
All right, okay. Go for it, Annie. Right, yeah, I tell it, Annie. It's so good.
So, Casey, I believe you DM'd me about the job.
Yeah, I think
or
so.
You like instant messaged me. Like, I found out about the job, and I was like, I don't want to write on a show. I liked the show and everything. I thought it was so funny, but I was like, I don't really want to write. I just want to do stand-up. And you're like, just like whatever. Just it's only for a couple. It was going to be like a short run.
2 weeks. I think it was a two-week position. I think it was at that point.
It was a two-week position, which you think is really short until you find out how many days I actually worked on the show. Okay, so it was during the blackout or the hurricane, and they blacked out
Hurricane Sandy.
That's right. And the subways weren't working. There was like really not that many taxis because of the gas. I lived in Brooklyn, I decided I'm just gonna go on the interview. I have nothing else to do. It's a two-week thing. It'd be fun to work with Casey. I walked from Brooklyn to Mid-City to go on this job, and it was just Joe in the office because everyone else was like boarding their houses back together.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Putting tape on their windows and stuff. And so I walked, and Joe was like, well, we already liked your jokes, but like, I guess you got the job. I mean, you just walked here. It took me like an hour and a half. And then fun story about that. I actually went out to dinner. I got kind of cocky. I was having fun.
Yeah.
So I went out to dinner with my friend uptown. I walked another like 50 blocks. Then it was dark, and then I realized, like, I had to walk home in the pitch black so much further.
Right.
But there were all of these, like, the cops had flares on every corner, and they were all standing in the corner. It was actually really nice. The cops were all, like, being the coolest. It was, like, the opposite of what's happening now. Yeah. But it was the safest I've ever felt in New York, and I walked in pitch black for, like, over maybe close to 2 hours. And then when I got halfway across the Brooklyn Bridge, the lights turned on. It was so cool. Anyway, so that's the fun part. But that really was like my favorite memory in New York, was doing that. So
that is,
thank you.
I had a great time during the blackout too. Yeah.
It was really, it was like so cool. I was walking alone, feeling completely safe. And there was one block where there were no lights. And I definitely got an ankle grab from a homeless person, which I'll never forget. But I survived that one. Like, oh my God, not today.
But you saw the bridge light up while you were walking on it. Is that what you
it
just
was,
said?
It started, it literally that's was a, halfway.
Oh my gosh, that's so weird.
That's like amazing.
People are partying in Brooklyn like crazy. The Williamsburg,
All right.
That's a perfect bridge. All right.
So then you were stronger than the storm. You were stronger than the storm. And
I withstood the storm and I was like, I'll do the writing job one. And I literally, like, I'm only saying this because I was excited for the job, but I wasn't like trying to be a writer. So I didn't like, I just was like, oh, this will be fun. I'll hang out with my friends and it'll be like easy and fun. And like, we'll do good work and laugh. I get there and the first day there's no showrunner, no one's there, it's just us. So it's like fun. It was like Angela. It was just like it was.
Yeah, there was only like four or five producers at the time, including with the Jokers too. They generate stuff, you know.
Right, and so I didn't know what a showrunner was at all. So the first day everyone was back was the first time I met the showrunner, and I didn't meet him. I don't think I even met him one-on-one, but everyone was just in the room one day.
Right.
And we were coming up. What's that?
I was going to say, and one thing that's good to note is that you came in, and I think this is a good thing, like guns blazing. Like you came in with like a lot of ideas, and the guys do love this. Like when a person's like outspoken, but a lot of times, like some people when they go to like a new job are like maybe quieter, but that's not your personality. I mean, you're funny and you have good ideas. And so you were like saying them.
I was like, you guys asked me to be here. So I'm not going to like be like, I think I was going on the road with Marc Maron like that weekend too. So I was going to have to leave one of the days. So I was like, I was feeling good. I wasn't like, I'm an open, like I was like already kind of feeling good in my career. So I was like, yeah. So the guys had been on set filming. So I hadn't really like met them, or I guess, I don't know if I knew them before, because I felt very close to them.
Yeah.
By the time all this went down, like I was like texting and stuff when shit went down. So I came in guns a-blazing. I like to hear the other side. I almost want Casey to tell this story.
Okay.
The he said, she said of it.
So you can, but, yeah, you kind of, you came in.
Well, let's get both sides.
Okay, great, yeah.
So I come in, I want to have fun. I want to do well. I'm here for 2 weeks. Like, let's do it. Like, let's come in. I'm confident.
And backstory also on this guy, he tried to fire a lot of people. He's actually, I think he's the reason that Rob Emmer never like came back for this run of episodes. He basically, because Rob Emmer was a PA, and I think he basically like chose his own team of people, who some were great and stayed with the show a long time, and were basically like, yeah, I took the job because I needed a job, but not that they like this guy. But I think he basically weeded out. He tried to fire Danny Hollis. He tried to fire me. He tried to fire Annie, as we'll see in a second. He had the energy of a person that was like a bad guy in a movie. You know what I mean? Like I it's hard to describe, but you know, and he certain things that happened behind the scenes, like during the dentist bit where Sal's got the chair upside down, Sal said that everyone's dying laughing. He looked over to this guy and he wasn't smiling. It's like he had that, he didn't laugh along with the crew. He was like almost like mad about everything.
I feel like he was like, trying to be cooler than the people laughing. He had like a trying to be cool complex is what I got.
Yeah.
Because he had worked on Jackass.
He didn't. Oh, mm-hmm. He worked on like Bam Margera's show.
Okay, so he was in that world. So he was trying to be cool like that.
Oh, like he's seen
and
it
so
all.
We were all, this was the first time I had met him. And I didn't know what a showrunner was. Not that I, you know, I kind of know how to treat the person that's kind of your boss. But I didn't know what he was in it. I was like, we had already been working for a couple of days. And we're having fun. And I mean, like a lot of laughs. Like I was there for like 4 days. I remember some of the things that were said in that room and I could cry laughing every time I think about them. It was a very fun time.
It was a fun time. And here's another element that comes into play. Joe Gatto brought in powdered donuts.
Okay. Yeah. So Joe brought us powdered donuts. Uh-oh. Okay.
We're having fun.
We're having
right?
a great day. We're laughing. I have a cold. Okay.
Another element that will come right? to play.
We will remember this. You know this you're kind of sick. Got it.
I'm kind of sick. I'm in it though. Like I'm not getting on. I'll handle it. So I gotta go to the bathroom here and there, blow my nose, whatever. Keep it cool. Okay, so there's that. I get called out at the end of the day. He goes, I want to talk to you. I go, I literally can't even imagine what I'm about to be talked to about. I thought it maybe it's paperwork stuff or whatever.
Right.
He goes, I want to talk to you. I go, what? He goes, I know you're on coke. And I go, what?
He accused her of being on cocaine.
What are you talking about? I'm not on coke. Maybe a little Adderall. But I was like, I'm not on coke. And he goes, yeah, right. I saw it on your shirt. And I went, oh my God. I go, first of all, I've been sober for 4 years. Everyone knows that I'm sober. I won't shut up about it. You know, when you get sober, the first couple of years you're sober, you don't shut up. Uh-huh. And he's like, guess what I am? I really dropped the anonymous part of it. But so then I go and I'm like, no, I'm sober. And he goes, no. I go, we had powdered donuts, dude. He goes, I saw it all over your shirt. I'm like, first of all, I used to do drugs. You don't drop the coke on your shirt. You do all of it.
Of course. You're right. And also, like, he was like, you were talking a mile a minute, and you're like, who's getting in trouble for coming up with a lot of ideas in a producer's room?
He was like, you were talking a lot. I saw you wiping your nose. I go, I swear to God, I have a cold. I'm excited. I'm like having fun. We're like writing all these jokes. It's great. It's good. And so then he's like, that's what you would say about the powdered donuts. And I'm like, I go, because I thought he was pranking me at first. I go, are you pranking me? I was like, oh, that's funny. It's a prank show. They like prank the new writer or whatever. He goes, I don't respect you enough to prank you. And I'm like, literally just had a good time this whole time.
Oh, he's a villain. He was a full on villain.
And I was like,
he was also, yeah.
And then as I was leaving and I was like, I was about to cry. I was like, it's so frustrating to be accused of something you're not doing, especially I'm sober. I'm here. I'm like, dude, I'm just here to do my best and have a good time. It's like 2 weeks. What are you talking about? As I'm leaving, he goes, and another thing, keep your stand up out of my room. I was like, the jokes that were working, keep my comedy out of the comedy room. Like, I was like, what are you talking about? And I realized what it was that the day before, the first day I met him, all the guys were in the room and we were all going over what we had worked on. And there was a punishment we were trying to come up with that was the guys were going to have to get a tattoo, a really bad tattoo.
Yeah.
And the showrunner who had worked in that field with people who like to get their balls stapled and stuff, he goes, I have a friend who got a tattoo of a smiley face on his balls, but he still gets so much pussy from it. It was just such a weird, like,
it's a
the
weird
room had
thing
been so
to say.
Non sequitur.
It was just
insane.
A weird thing to say. And I went, I don't know who he is or that I'm supposed to, not that I bow down to showrunners, but I didn't know that. And I just went, I don't know about that. And then everyone stopped and started looking at me. And I remember jokingly going back to my computer and going, I'm just kidding. I'm just working. Type. I didn't say anything. And then Q goes, no. And the guys are like, no. We want to hear what you have to say. What did you say? And I said, I just, in all of my experience of being a woman, I've never heard of a girl being like, no matter whether there's a tattoo or not, be like, hold your dick back. Let me get at those balls. Okay. And everyone starts laughing. And then the showrunner slams his hands on it and goes, we need to get back to work. And it's like,
oh my God.
In front of the creators of the show.
That's such a cool energy to bring to the comedy room.
But it was so weird because it was like, you just said pussy in a room. Like, you just made it weird. And I just was like countering it. So it wasn't like some weird dude was just saying a weird thing.
Were you there when he said, there when he said this?
Yeah.
Right.
Like,
it's true.
I used it in my stand-up. I put that into my stand-up, not about the show, but
that's
that
great
line.
Yeah. Yeah. That guy. So, were you there when he did this? Q had ordered a suit. He had to have a suit, and it came to the office because he's there so much. He's putting on the suit just to try it on, like, you know, the jacket and stuff. And out of nowhere, this guy, the showrunner guy, goes, man, last time I've had a suit was at my buddy Ryan Dunn's funeral. And we were like, what kind of thing is that? Like, are you bragging? Are you saying that like suits are bad? Like, what is the point of view? Are you like, it ruins every vibe. Like,
bragging.
He was just like, he's like, man, I the only time I wear a suit is at my friend Ryan Dunn's
car accident.
It was so horrible. Everyone literally was just like, what is wrong with
what
you?
What I gathered from him was that he was always trying to say, because if we had asked like, who was your friend? He would have been like, it's Steve-O or something, you know, like, my instinct from him and what I gathered was that he was always trying to remind us that he knew that Jackass crew. And it was just like, we don't care. Yes. It's like, we live in New York. I've seen Steve-O squatting over his ass crack. Like, you see them.
You
eventually
see that every day on the way to the subway in New York.
You always see it once.
No big deal.
Once a day.
Yeah. Love him. he was mad at you, obviously. And then he was also wanting to fire me at one point. He did that where he called me into his room and he was like, he said, he made up something. He was just like, "You're on Facebook too much." And I don't even think I'm on Facebook. And he was just like,
"You're on it's Instagram, loser."
It just started. It's 2000 something. Sandy. It's Hurricane Sandy. And so he was like, you know, and I was like, okay, look, like, I just want to talk to you man to man. You know, I said that just because I was just like, I want to clear the air. I was like, I just want to talk to you man to man. And he goes, "Don't question my manhood."
Yeah. That's always at the front of this guy's mind. I could tell. What? Already.
Yes. And I was like, do not understand what talk to you man to man means. Just like, I just want to strip down and just like be like, let's just talk. Let's get past this thing.
Let's do this. I'm actually starting to like him when we talk about him. But it was like, I felt like I had like emasculated him by like taking the laugh from him that he wanted to get when he said that this guy got pussy from having a ball tattoo. And so then the next day was the day that he called me out and was like, so I'd worked there like 3 days or 4 days. Like it was really, and it was for a 10-day job, a fucking dream. I mean, it was like fun. It was going to be, it was, you know, it was a dream team other than a couple weird, let's just say there's a couple bad apples in the crew. Anyway, but so I, so he accused me.
Not anymore.
So then it's the next day. And then he accuses me of the coke and I'm like trying not to cry. I've like never been in a position like this where someone's, it was just so like, if you have a problem with my right, like that's fine. But so at one point he said, that's what someone would say. Like someone would lie and say that that a powder donor. I'm like, I'll take you over here. And I started to go through the trash. And I was like, I'm not going to go through the trash. Like all the guys know I'm sober. Like everyone knows this. This is not like news. So then I leave and I go to a movie. I'm like so upset. I call my manager and my, my manager of course is like, well, was it you? I'm like, no. I'm like, no, idiot. I fired him. Not right after that. Soon after that. But I'm just like, what are you talking about? And then, he was like, well, what do you want to do? You want to quit the job? I was like, no, it's like 2 more weeks. It's fine. I'm like, just why don't you tell the production company that I will come back? Because by the way, I'm getting texts from Q and Sal that are like, oh my God, we just heard. We love you. We love your writing. Like, we like you in the room. Like, we want you there. Like, please come back. Okay. They're like, we do not want you to go. Cause I was like, I'm walking. So then I'm in the movie. I'm leaving the movie to talk to Sal and Q. And they're like, he just told us what he did. He's an idiot. Like, so then, okay. So I tell my manager, I will come back, but I need the showrunner to in person apologize to me. I was like, I need the next time he's in the office to come to my face. Cause I knew that would like really hurt him and say that he's sorry that he accused me of doing drugs.
Seems fair.
Why did she go along with
that? So the production company goes, we got it. He'll do it. So then there's a day where I come back and he's on set. So he doesn't come into the office. And then the day right before he's supposed to come back, the head writer brings me outside.
Yes.
And she goes, I got to talk to you. And it's this exact same spot. He told me I was on coke. And she goes, yeah, you know, the budget's always really tight and we're going to have to let you go. And I went, the budget? She goes, yeah, the guys aren't feeling your writing. They just don't, because the guys weren't there.
Oh my so God, that's a lie.
She blames on the guys. I go, the guys don't, she goes, they're just not really like getting your writing. And I go, really? And I go, this is about what happened with the powdered donuts. And she goes, what? No, I mean, and then I go, it's not about the guys. She goes, no, it's the guys. I pull up the text from them being like, we love your writing. We want you back. And I'm just scrolling and showing her. She starts, her face gets white as those powdered donuts, I might say. And she gets all like, you should have come to me if you had a problem. And I go, this is about the coke thing. And I go, I'm not begging you. Obviously, you're firing me. I'm not going to beg you. I'm like, this is like messed up though. And we're walking back in.
Fucked up.
And as she like holds the door for me to move back into the room, she like stops and she looks at me and she goes, trust me, Annie, I know one day I'll be writing on a show that you're the star of. And I looked at her for like 45 minutes. I just stared at her in silence. And then finally she had to let me in the room. I was like, oh my God. And then the guys were like, we're so sorry.
So just for the listeners, we're doing this on the East Coast. Annie's on the West Coast. So we basically woke you up to do this podcast. And the idea that you were talking a mile a minute because you're on coke, like you're obviously just a very energetic person. Like you have energy.
I'm always like
so it's like,
I'm always like
that's amazing.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for getting through this therapy session about it's about so this funny. And it's like giving
my,
people
it's one
some
of my favorite stories.
The drama.
It's like the funniest.
It's
the,
insane.
It's kind of the most dramatic thing that has ever happened in our show's history.
It was
history.
Just so. I was like, I mean, it's the least dramatic thing that happened to me that week, but it was just so. I just was like, couldn't believe it. And then years later, I got this DM from someone who worked at the production company, who I don't know what level he was at or whatever, but he's like. He goes, when you got the show on the job, he used to listen to Opie and Anthony. He's like, I was such a fan of yours from that. I didn't want to talk to you. I was like nervous to talk to you about it. He's like, but I just wanted to tell you there was blood after that. He's like, they all got in trouble for it. He's like, we all knew how messed up it was. He's like, it wasn't like a thing where anyone was on his side.
You know, it was at a time where the guys didn't want to just like fire someone that they didn't like, because they were like, look, it's still a new show. If this was a suggested person, we want to respect everything. But even though they hated his guts, but then when that happened, they were like, he's done. As soon as we could get him out, he's done. So it was really actually, thank you for doing, for doing cocaine.
Big coke. I posted like a throwback Thursday of us in the room.
Yes.
And my caption was, throwback Thursday to the time I was so I got accused of doing coke, but the guy didn't realize I just had a cold and I had to put a powder donut and I'm so annoying. He just didn't realize that I'm just like a little annoying. annoying.
All right, Annie, we are going to talk about the episode a little bit now. James, what's our first bit?
So this is an all-timer case. We've got waterproof bread against the self-destructing pregnancy test. This is a little product gestures for you.
The inventions.
I mean, obviously everyone kind of, when you think of the episode, you think of the human pinata as like the most memorable, but I'd put the waterproof bread right up there against it, where Murray actually dunks Q's waterproof bread into water and pulls the rug out from under him.
This is a good example of like a full fight. Murr and Q basically had like a full fight over this. Like they're taking each other's products and putting it in water. You know what I mean? Like, or, you know, they're really like going back and forth and snipping, but in a good way, in a funny way, in a way that you like to watch. Yeah. It was like, it was intense in a good way.
Yeah. And then also that self-destructing pregnancy test, I think could explode, right? It had a fuse on it. This isn't the only time we've tried to bring fireworks onto set, but this was the last time we were allowed to actually light it.
You know, I was wondering if that was legal when I watched it.
No.
Okay.
Is probably the answer. Not. Yeah. Because cool. the next time we brought fireworks, we actually got them from a plumber in Staten Island. that was our connect.
Yeah. And Bergio had to
get it.
Illegally.
And then he had to ask him for a receipt because he wanted to write it off. So he's like, can you just tell, like, write this down, sign this paper.
I definitely thought the pregnancy test was so dangerous that it's like, if the bread is going to win, which the bread did win, right? Uh-huh.
Yep. Yeah. Yes.
The bread won after obviously failing and just being bread.
Yep.
It won over the pregnancy test because it was so dangerous.
Yeah. All the women in the room voted for the bread. They're like, that bread sucks, but I'm not going anywhere near that self-destructing pregnancy test.
Yeah.
You know, I would have chosen the test. I don't know. Wow. You know?
Okay, you like the privacy.
Yeah.
And that is a shout out. That actually, there's a little commercial, and that's Jenny Hagel, who is a writer for Seth Meyers, who worked on our show, another legendary writer like Annie. And so she kind of came up with that whole idea for the commercial, maybe even the product, and Scarborough filmed it, and they edited it together. It was one of the first times we did like a fake commercial for a product.
One of our best too.
And Jenny did a great job.
Yeah, when that test explodes in the trash can in the commercial, it's a really great moment.
Yeah, and I like how it didn't catch on fire, which it 100% would.
Oh yeah, absolutely. In real life.
And the guys were good at keeping it like positive pregnancies, which I thought was really funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They probably didn't want to have any discussion about negative pregnancies or whatever, but it's like, that's what you would want it for.
Oh, absolutely.
If you didn't want people to know you're...
Right.
Do you know what I mean? It's not like a hat, like, yay! Like, it's the opposite of the showing the pregnancy test.
Yeah, and hats off to Murray with starts with a bang, ends with a bang. That was a good tagline.
Yeah,
that was good.
Quick thinking there.
They're so good at that stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So that was just the Joker versus Joker, right? We didn't see two other products.
Just those two.
And then our next bit.
We're going into hugs or forgiveness.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Yeah.
This is a weird one because it's something that like, you know, seems so simple.
Yeah.
But even Murray's like foolproof plan where he like runs over to him, like with like, this is one of the earliest like foolproof plan things. Like he was really going through this in season two.
Yeah, he would always say he has a foolproof plan. And then it almost never quite worked out the way he planned it.
I mean, that guy was like, get away from me.
Yeah.
They were like bleeping out. He was just screaming and cursing at him.
Yeah. When you see him run up to a blur, you're like, he's not getting a hug from a blur. Come on.
Yeah.
I know the show. Blurs don't hug.
Blurs hate him.
Like, I feel like with Sal and honestly the other three, they're so charismatic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are able, like, I feel bad for him because he's just in this one particularly. It's like,
oh, the harder he tries, the more he fails.
Repels people. But like, I was so proud of her because I thought she was definitely gonna give him a hug because she was being so generous with him. He was being so weird, yeah. And that's so creepy. But I think she maybe just was like, this guy's flirting with me. Which then when Q came in and was like,
great.
Oh, he's talked about you before. I would have been like, I mean, arrest this man. This is disgusting. Right.
Great move by Q there. A great move by Q there to help Sal get the loss there. But you're right. She's my mark of the episode. I mean, she has like the best line where it's like,
she's great.
Where she's like, I have strong boundaries.
I was so proud of her.
Yeah, she was so polite. Whereas I would not talk at all and just slowly walk away.
I mean, I would have freaked out on him, or I would have like ended up giving him my number or something crazy. But I'm walking home. Like, I have no bound. Yeah. Like, my boundaries are so off.
And then I love Q. I mean, just the idea of I've been mentally undressing you and mentally dressing is just a fun concept.
Taking clothes off of him, putting them onto you.
Yeah, that's just a fun, it's so fun.
Well, it was, it's like, it's funny to say, like, the thing was funny about with, where Joe had to say something that was so, could have been sexual to that one guy.
I ate 3 pounds of pork while I was looking at you.
And he was alone, right? It was just that guy. Yeah. But then to see Q have to deal with a couple, because it's weird to come up and almost hit on a man in front of his girlfriend.
Yep.
And then defuse it by being like, almost like, put your clothes, like, he could have been like, I try to get you to dress, but he did it well where he was like, no, you seemed underdressed and you seemed overdressed.
Yeah. Yes, I love it. Yes. I think the couple actually makes it a little bit easier. They probably felt a little bit safer since they had someone else there with them and they were like one-on-one with one of our creeps out there.
However, I still wouldn't have done it because I would have been like, oh, this guy is just going to try to steal my wallet.
Oh
yeah, there's something up.
Yeah, I think we're all in that
camp.
Maybe
I'm too negative.
No, if the guys see us out there in the park, they're not even talking to us, or they sit down next to us, and we're immediately like, get away, and like, great, they move over to another person. You don't see those people in the cut, but there's like five of them for every one good bit.
Yeah, I thought Joe did good with the.
Joe did great.
How do you make that not sexual?
You know, I mean,
you know. Make it just look hungry. I don't know.
And he didn't get the hug. The thing is, you're still not going to get the hug. That's too weird. But he did. I liked when he was like, I'm going to go lose 4 pounds of
3 pounds. Yeah. Pork. Yeah. He could do 4, but he held back.
Yeah. Isn't he always? Am I remembering this wrong?
You're right.
Yeah. You got it.
That's the one.
He's always at some point. But fun fact is Joe can poop in literally 10 seconds. Like, he can do the whole thing. I've seen him. He's done it before where he's like, we got to film, but he's got to poop. And he's like, I'll be back in 30 seconds. And I've seen him run to a bathroom, go, you hear a big, and then like a quick wipe. And
no,
he's
hand
like,
washing, no sink.
Yeah, no, of course not.
That's how you cut the time down. I saw him at the comedy store recently before everything shut down.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, cool.
I love running into the guys. It's the best.
Yeah, they're the best.
But, I just remember him, like, I just remember him having to with the door open or something for some punishment or something.
Oh, yeah. One of the early
ones. Oh, Joe?
Yeah.
Which one? Always.
Yeah.
Always.
He's always pooping. No, you mean the one where he's asking for paper.
Yes.
All right, what's next, James?
Oh, then we're going into Have You Seen My Wife in the Mall?
Ah, yes. mango pulp.
Trash bag of mango pulp is an all-timer. Gets talked about in the room all the time. It's like one of the best descriptors of anybody. Fake or real.
Nice.
Yes.
I think that might have been a Joe Imbrugio coinage. I think Joe may have done mango pulp.
Yeah.
Imbrugio might have come up with that, fed that line to the guys.
Oh, nice.
That happens sometimes.
Yeah, there's actually a little
good line.
Here's a little fun fact for you. There's a tattoo of Caesar salad in there as a descriptor.
Oh yeah, I like that one.
That was actually, so Joe ended up giving Sal the tattoo of Jaden Smith, but he was between Caesar salad and Jaden Smith at one point.
like a clip art, like a clip art version of Caesar salad. Yeah. Like he just thought it'd be really funny to just,
yeah,
it just was kind of weird. And
like just a detailed, like, yeah, almost like the kind, if there was ever like a picture in an encyclopedia of a Caesar salad, like just that on, right, his leg.
he really liked the idea of like, all right, so Q gets one that's like, has to do with him. Mer gets one that's like, you know, the ferret skydiving, and it has to do, you know, there's again, a reference, yeah, there. And he really wanted Sal's to make no sense. So that Sal forever is like, why did you give me a Caesar salad? Why did you give me Jaden Smith?
And they would never, I would like keep him up at night.
But he felt that, especially at the time with Jaden Smith, it's just makes it so much weirder.
It's so creepy it's at a better the time.
Choice. But Caesar salad's a good number two.
It really is.
Joe's good at number twos.
That's his thing, baby.
I like how the dudes were so much more willing to be like, oh, your wife's like, they're like, oh, we understand what you're saying. Your wife's like obese. And like, they were just taking all of the things like, oh, yeah, uh-huh, yeah. Is that her?
Yeah.
And the woman was like, this is unacceptable the way you're talking about this, your wife.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to be crazy. And the guys are like, oh, no, boys, locker room talk.
Oh yeah, a woman, yeah, with tusks. I know, I've been there. Yeah, she's down at,
yeah, they were talking, oh yeah,
yeah, she's at Kohl's. I saw her. This is such a fun bit. I just love all of it because it's every card makes me laugh, like wearing the bear rug, all three nipples showing, 3 o'clock shadow, all of it. It's just like lighting them up, knocking
the card bits are fun. But what I love about this is the second floor version where they're like at the mall on the top. And the guy, you know, the Joker's on the bottom. Whereas like the first couple times we did this, we did it in, I think, Columbus Circle. And you would see the guys holding the signs like just, you know, 30 feet away. Yeah. To have the two layers, we're like, we blew our mind. We were like, oh, it's so funny. It's like up top, you know, you could kind of like just look up and see it. It was a fun usage of the ball.
Yeah, really open.
I would be, I'm such a bad reader. I would be so bad at that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We, the guys are too. We cut that out. Q needs like five takes of those cue cards at least. But yeah, that second floor of the mall has been good for us. It kind of like opened up things where it's like, we did the game after that, where it's going to fish for people's bags and trying to like pull them back up. Or what was the other one? Dropping
a couple of hookers. Right?
Yeah, that one's called a couple underwear. Of hookers. Dropping underwear with a parachute and trying to get it in people's bags. And we're still trying to crack like a few more games, but it helps us because basically otherwise like people know us now in the mall and they know the guys, especially when they're out there like holding up signs. So just putting them on the other level, like the three guys are getting bothered a little bit more by people, and then our security is keeping them at bay. But like down on the floor, the guy down there has like a little bit more or like less looky-loos, as we call them in the business. It's the official term.
Looky-loos.
Yeah, so officially looky-loos.
That must be so hard now. What season is it? 200? Like 100?
Yeah. No, it's we're in 9, technically.
Yeah.
But aren't there, there's like, how many episodes are in a season, though? It's like crazy.
26.
It's insane.
Some of those earlier seasons I was noticing, which I didn't work on because I didn't work at the network, but like there were like 33 one of the seasons has. Like it's a really crazy number. Some of that's
with
numbers.
Specials.
Yeah,
with
that counts like a March Madness special.
Yeah, a movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just got to be so hard to get them not, because I've hung out with Sal in New York before, and if people come up, it's so funny because with the Jokers, people think they know them so much. I mean, they do, yes. But they like Sal, we were just standing outside of a movie theater. It was a big group of us. And someone just came up and punched him as hard as they could in the shoulder. And he was like,
oh my God.
It's horrible.
I'm like, what's
really
up,
bad.
Dude? Like, just like beating the shit out of him.
That sucks.
Nice. Good to see you.
I think people have cooled down, thank God. But like there were times, he'd be like eating dinner and people would come over and like slap him on the back and be like, I love you, man. And like, he's like, gotta be nice. But it's like, come on, I'm eating. And that kind of stuff is the worst. So please don't do that. If you see him,
don't hit
compose
Sal.
Yourself.
Yeah, if you've never met someone in real life, don't hit them.
Can't believe we're saying
though,
this.
It's
this
true though, because people feel, and it does make sense to me in some ways, where it's like, when I first see like a celebrity, I'm like, oh, I know that person, like, and I'm about to say hi, and then I'm like, oh, I don't know them, that person's just on Search Party or something, like, you know, plugging a show I'm binging. But like, it's one of those things, like somebody really thinks like they know the guys, and it's like, yeah, you don't yet. So yeah, just
and you see them interacting and stuff, and you think, you know,
yeah.
But, and they're not, they are nice.
Yeah.
They're like nice dudes. So they don't want to be like mean.
Right. Yeah.
But he handled it nicely, but it was like, oh my God.
Yeah. Just don't hit them unless they're propped up as a human pinata. Like
pinata,
in this punishment.
And you've been interrupted.
If they're a pinata, please feel free to hit the guys. Grab a wiffle ball bat and swing with all your might.
This was a legendary one that, you know, we, that like it was so weird that we're in Union Square in like a pinata. We get a crane to like hoist them up. There's a switcheroo at the top of it.
Yeah.
You know, like I think this is the first well.
Also, can we call this out? I kind of have beef with it. Why doesn't Joe get punished at all? Like he does lose. Like a lot of the wells are sometimes like they think they're going to do a challenge and then we trick them into a well. But Joe has the same amount of thumbs down as Murray in this one. So I don't know if we bring that back in season 9 to punish Joe retroactively or what do we do?
Interesting. Interesting point. Good idea. Now, what the reason why this happened was they were talking about like this human pinata punishment and Murr said, oh, this is for Joe. He just kept thinking that it was for Joe. Yeah. And the guy and like Sal and Q were like, they were just kind of quiet. They were like, why does he keep saying it's for Joe? And then, so they told Joe that, and then I think the way they said it was like, Murr like has a punishment, but you know, and then he was like, well, what if we do the switcheroo on him?
Because he was so excited to give it to Joe.
Yeah. And it was that kind of idea that we were like, all right, so we have to figure out a way to do this. I thought, and I could be wrong, that the math was actually like, it says that it was Joe, but if you look at the math of the episode, it's Murr, but maybe I'm wrong. I might be completely wrong. I don't know why.
It was even in that one, but it was also season 2. So we're still figuring out like, what are the rules of this game? Right. Where it's like, what's the loss? Like, when can you well someone? When can you, I don't know. Do all
maybe you were afraid that if you put Joe up in that, he would take one of his 10 second poops.
Yeah. Maybe. And then they would be on the can. They're like, kids are like, chocolate. And they're eating it.
I caught a lawsuit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's in my eyes. Yum.
But also, like, we're talking about how people recognize the guys now. To me, like, a punishment like this now is like perfect because it's like, oh, thank God. We don't have to do anything. It's like, we are acknowledging this is a show. This is a guy that got punished.
Right.
And
right.
Everyone in public, please watch this spectacle as we beat our friend who's dressed as a.
Did he get hurt?
I remember he was like, he had like, I think a little bit of like black and blues, but not like any serious damage. Like in the way that.
It's a fun way to put it.
Serious damage.
It's like, yeah, for like a wuss, he got hurt, I guess. But, you know.
Well, I the reason why I say it is like when I used to like, you know, play in a band and I'd play drums and then sometimes just like my legs would have black and blues because like the snare was just too low or something. And I would just end up like, and like, if you think of it, I've just been punching my legs for the entire set.
I love that. It's like being a human.
So
pinata.
You were a band?
I was in a band, Danny.
Ooh.
I just wanted to tell everyone that I was in a band.
And being a.
You should.
Yeah.
I don't know how to drum. I would tell people.
Where did you get the
kids from?
I know
a guy that knows Bama Margera.
Oh, band Margera?
Band Margera.
Yeah. We also have Vinny.
Yes.
Joe's brother-in-law, Vinny, who's Carla's husband. Murr touched her butt in a previous
to get
bit.
Joe in like a PowerPoint.
Back in the days. Bit. Yeah, back in the days when they would harass women on video.
Yes.
I know. I was as thinking, like, this is so, it's crazy how much time has changed. That would never be a thing right now.
I wonder if that would like pass like the network S&P folks now, if that bit came in, even though it's like a training video. So it's happening on purpose for that.
Yeah.
For that
bit. Like, it's like what you should not
I
do.
I never know where the line is.
I think you would be allowed to do it, but they're all married now, aren't they?
No, just Joe.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And Murr is about to be married. So when this comes out, and who knows if you're listening to it, Murr might be married.
Oh, cool.
But it also always surprises me because last year Sal got peed on the beach. And I was like, there's no way we're going to show that. They did it. So I never know. Chris Sorrentino from the Super Live Adventure podcast with John Zaluga, another producer on our show.
It would be cool if it was like a homeless guy.
Oh, well, he might be. I haven't seen Sorrentino actually.
He's probably
walk into
had,
a home.
He's probably had some moments.
Yeah, I've seen him at bars, usually drinking and then peeing on Sal. But one time we filmed it. One of the things about Joe's brother-in-law, again, this is a podcast, so you can't see it, but watch the episode. He is a massive human being.
Yeah.
This wiffle ball bat looks like a toothpick in his hands. Like, he's just a big dude.
He looks like a beefy Joe, which is weird on his sister.
Oh, yeah.
You know what's, you want to know something that's like a behind the scenes that's really funny? Is there's a point when we were filming where he was hitting him so much and the candy wasn't opening. And so, and they felt like it was too insane, but they gave him a metal bat and like held Murr so that he would just kind of, he wasn't hitting Murr. It looked a little too like, you know, staged or something, but he was like kind of like holding him. He like was like, hold on Murr, and was like kind of knocking into it a little bit to like loosen it up. And then was like, okay, now I think if I hit it with the regular other bat, it'll be
right,
fine.
Right, because you could see Murr has like almost like a little belly, like almost like a pregnancy belly that's filled with candy. That's
where the that is. Little like pouch.
Yeah.
But we didn't want to show it because it looked too like set up, because the way he was just like, oh, wait, hold on a second, and was like, took the metal bat and was like opening it a little bit, just like kind of getting it like ready. But that's also insane that he had a metal bat on hand to also hit him. But we felt like that was going too far. But, and
here's
insane.
The thing, as a viewer, not having seen this episode before, I was happy at the end to see a little bit of a pouch, because I was like, are they really hurting him? And I'm also happy to know now that he did bruise a little. You know what I mean?
Okay,
like, you want it to be like a little fake. Like, you don't want him to be really being beaten, but you don't want him to not be hurt at all.
Right.
If you watch the clip, Sal goes right for his penis and balls. It's
well, that's
so funny.
What I was gonna say. Like, it would be funny if they put the candy over his crotch.
Okay. and kids have to hit it.
Yeah, why
kids
not?
Have to
it's already questionable to have him so close to the kids to begin with.
Yeah,
I mean, but then if you put that sack that they have to hit, and then it just skeets candy all over them.
We could call him Candy Crotch though. This was a missed opportunity that I blame this old showrunner for us
See,
not getting.
Annie, you have to.
I know.
Annie,
I have
to come
been
back.
There.
You have to come back. Yeah.
Honestly, I had the most. That was like a good 4 days. Though. It's all fond memories, and I like a good story, so I'm cool with it.
That was a good 4 days.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for extending your time to be on this podcast.
Of course. I two of you I know and love and miss, and now three of you.
Thanks so much for doing the pod. It's been great having you.
It was so fun.
Yeah. Lisa was so excited that you were going to be on it too. She said,
I was just going to say hi to Lisa.
Oh, that's sweet. I'll tell her.
Name your puppy after me, guys.
It's Granny. So yeah, it's perfect.
Oh my God, Granny. It works.
Granny Letterman, full name.
Yeah, that's Granny Letterman.
That's real. I really might be that now.
Do it. All right. Thank you guys so much. This was so fun. Happy back.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Well, is there anything else you want to promote before we go?
Just my podcast, Me Inspiration, on YouTube, my Patreon, Annie Letterman, my Instagram, Annie Letterman, and my Twitch. I'm doing fun stuff on Twitch now too.
That's awesome. And for our fans, that's Letterman, L-E-D-E-R.
Yeah.
M-A-N.
L-E-D-E-R-M-A-N.
There it is. Hey. All right. Well, thank you everybody for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.